Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Say we thank
and
you,
now,
Father.
Here is
Say,
The
Father,
Watchman.
We thank you. Because our lives are sorted. Our destiny is sorted. Our eternal destination is sorted. We are sorted all the way around. How many believe that? That you're sorted all the way around. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you because that is our assurance. That is our assurance. Glory to God. You may be seated. You know, it's nice to know that you're sorted, because the challenges sometimes come, and when they find you on shaky ground and you don't know where you stand, who you are, then they can, you know, cause you to do things you thought you would never do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, you know this, a few people have noticed that these past weeks, this ministry has been under some kind of attack. Eh? But I love those things. I love those things because, of course, I know where it comes from, and I know what they are trying to do, and I know what they are scared of, and I know their fears are going to come upon them. And I know that usually an attack is just like a catapult into the next level of your destiny. Amen? So many people here have come to me when they are in a moment of uncertainty, and or when they are on the brink of something good. You can sense after perhaps all this period of struggle, now something is about to break loose. Now when that happens, when something is about to break loose, that's when everybody who has anything against you rises up. Now when that happens, you know that you are getting there. Because that is when so many people have come to me with, you know, those scenarios. And you live happy, you know something is moving, something is happening, then they attack. Now the attack is just a confirmation that something is what? Something is going to happen. Something serious is going to happen in your life. And sometimes even God uses it to kind of jolt you out of, you know, for all sorts of reasons, okay? And one of the biggest reasons for attack sometimes is to get you out of stagnation. When you've stagnated, sometimes you need to be attacked a bit so that you, because you can settle there. Amen? Now I'm seeing somebody here who has been staying with his brothers and he wasn't paying rent. He was just doing a fellowship. Then a fellowship, then praying for people and they are getting healed and what? Then God says, no, but that's not the way. You have to learn something different. Eh? So the brothers turn against him and say, also, you have to start contributing to rent. Now, you can look at that any way, two different ways. You can see it as something wrong has happened, or you can see it as now God is moving you to a next stage of your life where he's teaching you something new. Amen? Now, let's start with Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, then go to Acts chapter 8. When this thing happened, when the church happened, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem for about 21 years, and they built a church which had the 12 apostles of the Lamb, that is, the 12 who were with Jesus, which had prophets, evangelists, and what, and they were all seated in a church. And they were getting comfortable playing church in Jerusalem. Now, the Lord told them, Jerusalem first, then Judea and Samaria. Then afterwards, to the uttermost parts of the world. But they became comfortable. And they sat there. And it's not a bad thing to fellowship with people who are like you. And who are powerful like you. Now, when the Lord saw that they were beginning to become so comfortable in Jerusalem, and they had forgotten the other part of the mission, then this happened. Now, Saul was consenting to his death, you know, Stephen. At the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Now, God has to shake them up a bit because they are growing old in Jerusalem. And he told them, okay, start in Jerusalem, but after that, go to Judea and Samaria. And after that, to the whole world. Now, they are growing old in Jerusalem. This is 21 years after the ascension of the Lord. Then, there is no sign that any of them is going anywhere. So, a persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of where? Judea and Samaria. The next level. Okay? Now, you see, the Lord had to do this. So even in persecuting the church, maybe Saul was doing the work of God. Because he shook them up a bit. Otherwise, they were going to stay in Jerusalem. Now, it says all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the 12 apostles, they're the only ones who stayed. Of the ministers, that is. The ones who stayed in Jerusalem. Now, go to the next verse. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Okay. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off the men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now, you see, if they had not been scattered by the persecution, they would have stayed there. Now, they went all the way. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Remember what he said? Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the rest of the world. Now, Philip, the evangelist, is finally taking up his call to go where the gospel has not been heard, rather than sitting in Jerusalem, where there is a powerful church with very powerful men of God. And they're just there demonstrating things. And yet, actually, these words have to be taken elsewhere. So Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For all those things happened. Eh? Miracles. Okay. Then from there, he went to, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Now then Philip starts his real mission, which is to go and be an evangelist, not sitting in the church in. The reason I'm telling you this is because all of us at some stage get to a level of comfort, and sometimes the Lord needs to shake you up a bit. Otherwise, you become comfortable just attending a fellowship, doing what, singing hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then you feel the Holy Spirit, then you go home. And then you come back the next week and then do the same thing. And there is something that has to be done, because there is a commission attached to all these things. And all of those powerful experiences can never be without a purpose. Now go to Acts chapter 11. Start from verse 19. Now those who were scattered over the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyrus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyrus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. Now, these are not Jews, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Now, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek for Saul. Now you see, this is one of the this is where sometimes people get issues, especially people who are called in ministry. Now Barnabas, when Saul was converted, he was alone. It is Barnabas who got Saul and took him to Antioch. And it is Barnabas who got Saul and took him to Jerusalem and introduced him to the church there and said, this is no longer somebody who persecuted us, this is one of us. And because of the word of Barnabas, who was already known, Saul or Paul was received in that place. But now a time came in, at some stage in the future, when it became clear that Paul had a more powerful call than Barnabas. Now, that was the time for Barnabas to adjust himself. Just because you led somebody to the Lord doesn't mean that he's going to be under you all your life. No. The next day, he will be your pastor. Yet you're the one who led him to the Lord. Now, the issue is, can you adjust to that? Now, when they got places, Paul and Barnabas, people see the grace on Paul, and somehow they are the ones, he's the one whom they seem to be elevating ahead of Barnabas. So Barnabas gets a bit of nook. You understand? So, they find an issue concerning John Mark, and they quarrel so much, and they part. Praise the Lord. Now, does that there is a reason why the Bible does not mention Barnabas after they parted with Paul. Because the Acts of the Apostles are speaking about people who are on their course, not those who have gone off course. Amen? So, if you led somebody to the Lord, it doesn't mean that you are going to be above them. The person, after they've been there a while, you see that God is elevating them above you. And if you do not adjust, you get off course. And I know many people who have done that. Okay, so you get off course and start saying, no, 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 I'm the one who brought him. If it wasn't for me, they wouldn't even have known him and what. All that is right, but you're off course. And the things you say are right. But then, so now after Barnabas goes, he's off. Now, these same people, after Judea and Samaria, then they go to the uttermost parts of the world. Do you know what caused them? After they got comfortable in Judea and Samaria, you know what came? Famine. Let's read it and see. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Actually, it says throughout the Roman Empire. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. But after that, they were forced by hunger to go to Asia, to go to Macedonia. They first started being comfortable in Jerusalem, persecution. Then they went to Judea and Samaria, the next level, famine. Then finally, they went to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, sometimes that's what it takes for some people to be jolted out of some sleep. Praise the Lord. Because the temptation to become comfortable in one place, now even in jobs, even in businesses, even in things like that, and you don't try out new things, is so real that sometimes by the grace of God, you're shaken up a bit to show you that there's something better than what you have. There's something out there. But you see, you can preempt that shaking by just noticing that, why am I stagnating in this place? Why is nothing working here? Now, some people, if they just started asking those questions, you would get clear-cut answers. Even if you're immature, it will come mostly through dreams, where you become completely unsettled about something that at some stage of your life made you happy. Then you pray and say, what's not happening? Why am I not feeding? Why am I? Don't accept a moment of stagnation in your life. Amen? There is a time to arrive, then there is a time to stand up and move. The trouble is, so many people accept stagnation. And you look at them, and you look at them, and you know that somebody has stagnated. And you can just look at them and see it. And it's very clear. And you know this one has stagnated. And at some stage, you saw them moving, then pam, they stagnate. Now, some man of God came to me in office, and he was having that thing. Something was not working out as it had. And I'd sensed it, because I know him personally, I'd sensed that he was not moving as fast as he should have been moving. But because I know him to be a very spiritual person, I said he will sort himself out. Now, there are people whom I know can sort themselves, and there are those whom I actually pray for. There are so many people here whom I pray for, because I know you can't sort yourself out. But now this one, I said, that one, he will sort himself out. So one day, he tells me, he woke up in the morning and the Lord told him, just go to office and see the watchman. He said, but you know this, that. He said, go and see him. But you know this is, go and see him. He has something for you. So he came there, and as usual, I look at somebody and I start telling stories, and they think I'm just telling stories, but I know what I'm saying. So I tell them stories. You see, there are different ways of doing things. Like, if I know your problem, I could tell you, this is your problem and this is what the Lord is saying. No. But I come up with a story of somebody which is similar to you to show you what the other person did that you should do. So that is not direct. So I speak in parables, and I do that a lot. And it's completely prophetic. And sometimes, I remember somebody came to me one day and told me that, before he started talking, I said, now you know somebody like you. If I mentioned him, all of you would know him. You know somebody like you, you're called to be a man of God. But then there's this girl whom you're so infatuated with, and she's not going to be able to carry your dream. So God has actually helped you by her chucking you. But you've not gotten over it. No, that's actually not what I said. I said it in parables. Now you can see, there's this man of God. Sometimes I can talk of a man of God whom I knew from way back. And I say he did this, he did. Then all his ministry ended around one decision, because he was totally infatuated with a certain girl. And she messed up his ministry. And yet, God had helped him. She chucked him. He went back running and what. Then, now that time I didn't know that I was speaking prophetically because this guy was in that same situation. But I didn't know. So when I started talking, he kept quiet and was listening to me. And then I noticed this is not ordinary listening. Eh? This is listening of somebody. That... Then, now that was some years ago. Then when I finished, he told me, man, you're prophetic. I said, what do you mean? He said, that's exactly what I'm going through. He said, there's this girl, I was with her at campus and what, you know, man, I really, really like her and so on. And man, she's, you know, all these things. Eh? And, but somehow I was feeling, but I said, no, you know, she got, no. And I know he's a man of God and I know where he was heading when he told me. But when I was telling the story, I didn't know anything. I was just saying things prophetically. But of course, since then, I've learned that I start telling a story knowing exactly that I'm saying something which is true for the person's situation, but I'm not going to tell you direct. Now, so this guy comes to me. So I found myself telling him a story. And you know, they just pop up in me by the Spirit of God. So I found myself telling a story of some time ago in the mid-90s, around mid-90s. So I told him this story of some time ago, way back in the mid-90s. I was in Hoima, and there was a sister of mine, my own sister, who was sick. Now, that was the first time I learned how much faith, like how God meets everybody at the level of their faith. Because she was sick, she actually had HIV, and now my mother told me that they had been praying sometime earlier, and she had my sister, you know when people are praying in the same room, my sister by that time was already having all the symptoms of HIV, you remember that 1990s HIV, eh? Terrible stuff. So she prayed, and my mother had her saying, God, I don't want to die now. And actually, she had lived a very careless life, but towards the end, she got born again and got really born again. Eh? Like she was all about God. Then she said, God, I don't want to die now. Give me another 3 years and I preach the gospel. Then I can die. So my mother had the prayer. Now, the interesting thing is, in 1 week, every symptom vanished. Completely. Lips which were red became black. The pimples went. She put on weight. She went back to origin. In 1 week, exactly 3 years later, the symptoms came back as they were. Now I said, if it's something so spectacular, at that stage, can't you say, if for 3 years, why can't you just give me pack a last? Because, I mean, do you see how God, like, he shows you a sample so that you can say that, no, if it, that, because clearly, my mother said she waited. She heard when she said that prayer. She saw how the symptoms vanished and waited 3 years. You know when you even say in this year and a month. And exactly on the dot, the symptoms came back. And she was back grounded. Then I said, man, can you imagine she could have asked for Paka last? Now. But that's not the story. Eh? There's another one. Now when she came down sick, I went to her place where she stayed. Now, which was a different side of the town from where I was staying. So I was in town, so I said, let me go there. I went there and prayed for, and I remember I walked inside the house, and I saw so many women who had come there, as if, you know, those women who have come to be by the mother's side when, you know, this person is sick. Then I reached there, and I looked at one of them like this too. And I knew this one is a witch and has come to bring witchcraft to make sure this person dies. And she also looked at me and we looked at each other. We both knew each other. You understand? Eh? Yeah. So I started praying. I prayed. Then I left. I had progi. Eh? So I went into town. And went to play tennis. I used to be a good tennis player. Eh? Okay? Now, so I went to play tennis. So I played. So at dusk, of course, I finished. So around 7:30 coming to that, I'm walking home. I have been moving around the whole day. Mind you, I was walking. So by that time, I'd probably walked a minimum of 10 kilometers. So I am so tired, which was okay, not a big problem because I was, you know, very young. Now it would be a problem. Okay. But no, it wouldn't still. Eh? Okay. Now, so I started walking back. Now, when I was just leaving town, going to my suburb, somewhere along the way, the Lord spoke to me in a very clear voice and told me, turn back and go to the other place where your sister is and spend the night there praying for her. God has never given me a more inconvenient instruction than that. Never. I was tired. I was only thinking of going home, bathing, eating, and sleeping. So, and yet the voice was so clear, so clear. And I knew the voice of God so clearly that I knew. So I sat down on the roadside in total confusion. I completely, I'm telling you the truth, I sat down on the roadside and said, God, why now? Why now? And you know, God does not answer back when he knows you've heard. So he leaves you to yourself. So I sat there and I started arguing. I said, now even if I pray now, I'm tired. Why do what? And I said, but can't I go tomorrow morning? Can't I do this? So I started convincing. You know, that's how people disobey. Nobody says, God, I've jammed. I'm going home. No. You reason until you disobey. So I reasoned. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? Let me go home and bathe and change and then come back. Now, of course, that's adding. Because it's about 2.5 kilometers to home. Then if I'm coming back, I have to walk the 2.5 back. Then another 2.5 the other side. Now it would be night, and I would even be scared. So I said, I convinced myself. Anyhow, when I stood up from there, I started walking towards home. Bam. With a heavy heart, but going towards home. Narrow. Now, I reached home, I bathed, I slept. I did not get even an ounce of sleep. Not even, my eyes not even closed for 1 second. The whole night. I was there turning in bed, turning, until I was praying for dawn. If there's a way I could have walked to that place at 2 a.m., I would have, but I was scared. So I waited for morning. Then in the morning, I got, this time I borrowed, you know, the home bicycle and started riding to go to that place. Now when I reached town, I saw my uncle's car coming. Then I saw him waving at me. And I'm saying, what is this guy saying? Then he waved at me and told me, your sister has died. Like, you know, things you regret. Eh? Like, that's one thing that it took me almost a whole year to get over it. Because I knew if I'd obeyed God, she would not have died. But at least she's in heaven. Eh? But I knew. And now there comes those moments where an instruction seems to be... Now, instructions which are the most inconvenient usually carry the biggest reward. So I'm telling this person these things and how, you know, we've all had scenarios in our lives where something happens and you know, man, I should not have done that. And but of course, don't dwell on it. Eh? That's also a trap of the devil. Just know that I shouldn't have done it and then move on. Now, so then he tells me, now this is somebody whom I'd known had stagnated. And it's always over an instruction. You did not obey. So he told me one day he got this amount of money and he needed food at home and he needed this at home. Then the Lord told him, get that money and give it here. Then he said, now tomorrow I'm expecting money. Let me first use this one. I'll give the one for tomorrow. Guess what? The one for tomorrow never came. And his financial level, which had been going up, stalled. And started coming down. Over one instruction. Then another time, he tells you, pray about this thing. Now you see, the thing with these things is the more you listen to it, the clearer it becomes. You will get a vision of something. And you know, I've told you some of these things before that. It has happened in my life. One morning I woke up and I found myself digging a grave. And you know, where you wake up and you can even see the soil this side and you're inside a grave digging. Then I woke up. Then, of course, I knew that somebody whom I knew was going to die. if I didn't do something. Now, listen to this. Dreams come when you have the power to change them. Amen? You cannot dream somebody is going to die unless you have the power to change it. The reason God shows it to you in a dream is because you can change it. Okay? So don't just situate it. No, it is not. You can change it. You have the power to change it. Now, this time I woke up in the morning and I knew I was supposed to pray. So I started praying. But you know those lazy prayers, eh? So I had things to do. I had this to do what. So I woke up and said, I cover everybody. I cover my family. I cover my, Then I go to the towel, put it on. I cover what? Enter the bathroom. Cover. Then I finished, got out, dressed, and went. But inside me, I knew I had not sorted the problem. I knew it. So, the day after, not that very day, the day after, there was a heavy rain in Kampala. And the story was actually in the papers. There was a young boy here in Namungo. There was a pregnant woman who was harvesting yams, and the water was taking her, and she was holding onto something. Then she called for this guy. The water was taking her, and you know, once you go, eh? So she called this guy and told him, come and help me. So the guy said I couldn't leave her. So he went in there and got hold of her. Now, both of them, the water was taking them. Now, there was another guy standing there at the edge. They told him, Tuyambe, do something. The guy just stood there, paralyzed, and looked at them. The water took both of them. And their corpses were discovered somewhere on Nachivuvo Channel, somewhere. One of them was my nephew. If I had prayed, now, you know, like those things where I have something to do, if I had prayed seriously, he was not going to die. Now, you see, you become even guilty. So when they came for Mabugo, I gave a very big Mabugo because I was guilty. Now, when they said that his children need school fees, because I'm still guilty. The guy died because the God gave me the opportunity to save him. But I thought I was so busy. You understand? Now, you see, sometimes you learn these things the hard way. Now, another instance. One day I was coming from recording the show. It was a Wednesday. So I would go to the station, record the show, and then come into town so that I can be free in the evening to have cappuccino. So I was, when I left, because of course my phone was inside it when I was recording, I found so many missed calls from one person. So I called her back and she told me I'm in the labor ward giving birth, but it's complicated. Please pray for me. So I had those words. I was in Bakuri. So I said, okay. So then I said, in the name of Jesus, you're covered and what? But I knew it wasn't one of those things. I knew I really had to pray. I knew it. And so I just prayed a bit in tongues, Shaka Brazada, as I was driving. Then I got to around Watoto Church where I was supposed to meet somebody. Yeah, then I met the person. Then we went somewhere. Then we did this. Then we did I forgot. But inside me, I knew that problem was solved. I could have put off that person's meeting and told them, no, wait, I am not, give me an hour. And I would pray until I know there is a release. And I know when there is a release. And I know when I've just done lip service. You understand? Eh? So I did real lip service. Now, I don't know what happened, but the next time I called the woman and said, how did it go? She hung up and she has never come back to Watchman. She doesn't, I don't think she even believes I'm a man of God. And yet somehow I blame myself because you can know when you've done, when this problem solved. I know it. Like I will pray about something, pray about it until I know it's achieved. And I know there is nothing that can stop it from happening. Now, I did that careless thing. And man, imagine, I believe perhaps her child died. Because at least for her, she picked the phone, so she didn't die. But I believe her child died. Now, if you are going to become mature people who serve God, like, instructions don't have to be convenient. Actually, they will more or less be inconvenient. But the only guaranteed way of progress is when the Lord leads you to do it, just do it. And all of you, there's nobody here who doesn't know those things, eh? Who doesn't know how to listen to God and know that this is an instruction. All of you know. But you just choose to take it lightly. And yet, now you imagine God has trusted you are the person who can sort that person. Now, like my nephew, I could have saved his life. So I could pay school fees for his kids, but I could have saved his life. And he pays for them himself. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason people stagnate is because, number one, of course, of instructions. Now, when people get to a level and they become stuck, and these instructions come through dreams. Now, I'm telling you this. You dream something about what you're pursuing. Wake up in the morning, get the interpretation of the dream, and do it. Otherwise, you stagnate. And then you don't even have to wait for that. You can sense it. I told you the other time I sensed that this message of end time is not going as far as it should have gone by now. So I just went and sought the Lord and said, why? I thought by now, 4 years after I started the Watchman, by now everybody should be talking about end time. So I was asking why. So slowly by slowly, he started giving me answers. One of them is that some people here are supposed to go and take the message. Yeah, but maybe also them, they have become comfortable. Okay? Now this man here, this man of God here, you stand up. Now he went to Tororo, okay, and got an opening on the radio station. And I knew now that is the Lord. You understand? Sit down. Just went. Now he's going to be teaching end time, the eastern side, Tororo, Mbale, and all those places. Okay? Now when he came and told me, I said, now this is the answer to what I was asking the Lord. Others will go to the north, others will go somewhere, but we want this message. We want everybody to know that Jesus is coming soon and prepare themselves. Because if we don't tell them, they will miss the rapture. I don't want to have a scenario of what happened with my sister, what happened with my nephew, and with this, you know, eh? So like that, I cannot sit down and settle when God has entrusted you with something which is so precious. And you can do something about it. But you can choose to do something about it. I mean, you can choose to do nothing and just be in your comfort. Now, this man here, so he goes to the West. So he asks me one thing. Where am I going to get money for radio? So I told him, that is a very good question with a very good answer. God. Now, let me tell you, you cannot do ministry until you've learned these simple lessons. Okay? Now, the other day, somebody came to me and said when I preached about places and changing places, she felt she has to change house. I need a better house for my family. So I said, now that's powerful. That's very good. Then she says, but I don't have them. I said, where does money come into the equation? Praise the Lord. We are not run by money. We are not. I am not. Okay? I am run. And the Lord took me off that when I told you this. When he told me to do a conference, which cost me 45 million, when the maximum this ministry could ever get was about 500,000. So he legged me completely and took me out of anything that I can do on my own until he showed me that with every instruction comes the provision. Amen? Now everybody has to learn that lesson. That when God tells you to do something, he has never called you to be a money, look for money. That is not my business, praise the Lord. It's not my business to do what? To look for money. It is his business. Okay? Now, I remember some guy came, and it says there, a soldier does not go to war at his own expense. Have you ever seen a soldier wondering where he's going to get money for bullets? Is that his business? The one who enlisted him should give him the bullets. His work is to what? To use them. Have you ever seen a soldier worried about where he's going to get uniform? The scripture says the soldier does not go to war at his own expense. Then it says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel must live off the gospel. So I was telling this man that when you go there, it's not your work to look for the money for the radio. Let the person who called you look for it. Eh? Your work is to get the message and preach. Now that sounds, for so many people, that's revolutionary. But you see, we've trained ourselves in this thing that I know, even if I'm supposed to do what? Like money, God's business. Not only does he give the money, he also gives me money to enjoy as I'm doing his work. Because I must live off the gospel. Amen? So I told this lady, if you want to get another house, go and get another house. Then, of course, the question is money. But good enough, this same lady came to me and she was starting a radio show some time ago. And the problem was the same. Money. Where would I get the money? So I told her, when she came that time, I told her, can you pay for 1 week? Because it's a weekly show. I said, can you pay for one show? She said, yes, I can pay, I think, for three. I said, just pay those and start. Leave the rest up to God. Now, 4 months later, she's telling me, where can I get money for what? For a house. I told her, have you ever missed any radio show because you didn't have money? She said, no. Where did it come from? If you can pay 1 month rent, you pay it. If you feel God is leading you there, don't worry about the next. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, sufficient for that day are the problems of it, of that day? Eh? Don't think too far. That's lack of faith. If you can pay for one show, pay for it. And if you can pay for 1 month's rent and the landlord is stupid enough to allow you to pay for 1 month, just pay and leave the rest. I'm telling you the truth. That's how we have lived. Amen? I guarantee you once you step there, the next month and the next and the next. Now here is somebody, 4 months, a weekly show. She was asking where the money is coming from. She has not missed a single show. Yet she actually didn't have the money. But she stepped there. Now why do you think the scripture says when you step there, I've given it to you? He does not give it to you until you step there. Go and step in that house and see if the rent will not come. Praise the Lord. Like, I'm telling you, and I'm not telling you things I don't do, eh? Like, once I step there, I know it is Chiwede. Chiwede. You just go and sit in that car and drive a bit. Like glory to God. The only thing I ask, would the Lord want me to have this? Is this time for me to have this, you know? Then you do. Now, the reason people stagnate is they are looking for money. The whole world is looking for money. Why do you ask people, why is the healthcare problem money? Why is this not working money? Why roads money? Why is that is Babylon. For us, we are not governed by money. You see, until you learn that the next step is not governed by money. When you have money, you start behaving like you own the world. So you have to, God has to bring you to a place where you know my next step is governed by his command, not by money. Now then when I have billions, I will not be making stupid decisions because of money. Because even when I had nothing, money was not making decisions for me. So now, I make decisions based on God because that's what I always did even when I had nothing. Glory to God. So why do you think people become rich and then they start thinking like, you know, somebody comes and says, you know, you people should open a bank account, then I support your ministry. By the way, when somebody says I'm supporting your ministry, I even chase them out of my office. My ministry supports you, don't support it. Like the anointing. I told you here before, those who preach the gospel must live up the gospel. Amen? So how many people are employed by the gospel across the world? More people than are employed by any company in the world. Amen? And yet somehow they are all living off the gospel. So does the gospel need you? If somebody is employing millions of people, can you support him? No, he's the one who is supporting you. You understand? The gospel is God, and it is that system. And we do not... Now, people stagnate because they start thinking money. And now that's how so many people who started out in the spirit, see, they take a detour because of money. Now, all of us were like that. When we were young and had no cares, wow, we preached the gospel. I'm telling you, now then at some stage you start becoming older and start thinking, now I have to marry, now I have to do what, now I have to do these things. And then suddenly, you undercut yourself. And then you leave and go and find other things to do. And that happens all the time. All the time. And then you find somebody with powerful calling. Some guy came to me selling these Ponzi schemes, which people use over, you buy, over bring how many people and what. So the guy calls me, and I knew him to be a very powerful evangelist. So he calls me and says, I want to see you. So I say, man, the man must have a prophetic word. Then the guy comes with a laptop, selling me to join, over have how many people, then for each person you get you this. I looked at him, and it was so sad. Like an anointing, a powerful anointing, reduced to that. So now some of you are going to learn how to live by faith from me. Because the Lord has taught me that. Because when you get, and this is not even just for preachers, for everything. Now the other person wants another house, it's not for preaching. It's for sleeping in. But also faith works there. Amen? In business. Now people stall because they don't listen to instructions of God. Now I'll give you an example. In businesses, you commit to the right anointing. Okay, that's now also another issue, which makes people stall, but I don't want to go there so much. But I know that the people who choose which anointing to be under, and they don't waver, not choose, who ask God to tell them which anointing to be under, and they don't waver. I'm telling you, I have seen progress. Very, very fast progress. Somebody comes and says, I dreamt this, I dreamt that, I dreamt this. I'll give an example of myself. Okay? Yeah, watchman, I dreamt when I was in a car with you and you were driving. Somebody said, like, I dreamt when you had come to my home and you were cooking. You are the one cooking food for me. Of course, food is like the word. You understand? So, clear dreams, which mean that God is telling you, this is the ministry you should subscribe under. Now, if you let yourself get confused, you are going to stagnate. Because God's instruction cannot be, debated. You see, some people have stayed in democracy too long that they think a king gives you an instruction and you debate it. Praise the Lord. A king gives you an instruction and you listen. That so shall you be promoted. So shall you see progress in your life all the time. So, they ask, what do you think it means? Depending on their spiritual maturity, some of them I know they are just looking for, you know? So I tell them, you go and find out what it means. But others who are young, I would say it means, come and, you know, this is, be under this ministry. Now, some of them will come and be there 1 month and go. And then go and start saying what is wrong with the ministry. And guess what? I can guarantee you in 5 years, you'll be in the same place. Guarantee. If the only way to get the blessing of God is by obeying his instructions. Amen? Now, there is a reason. And all these things are planned by the Lord for a reason. There are so many ministries, okay? All of them so many ministries under prophet, including this one. But God will send you to some different ones because of what? Of a similarity that you have that is in that person. Do you understand? So there is a reason he sends you there, because now he'll send others to another one. So he says, you go here because that's the person who is, you know, whom your ministry or your calling is similar to that. Now, then for you, you say, I don't like them because they meet on Friday. I prefer the ones who meet on this day, because on Friday I have to go to the steam bath and I sweat a bit and put on a kasuka, you know. Then you say, okay, you go to the steam bath. Then afterwards, the person comes, why are these things not working? Why are these things? Instruction. Now, even the more you listen to the instruction, the clearer it becomes. Praise the Lord. Now, these instructions you get in the spirit, they start very hazy. Like you just have a feeling something is going to happen. You have a feeling. And God, and like you're just getting something scant. So you go with that. Now you pray about it, not knowing exactly what you're praying about. But in the process of praying, then you get the clearer instruction, then you do it. Now the next instruction will come clearer and clearer and clearer. And you grow it until now you're completely in tune with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now disobedience takes you away. Every obedience step takes you closer to being in tune, until you can just come and sense there's something not happening here. But you see, people don't have spiritual sensitivity because when the Lord is trying to lead them, they are too busy or something. So they stagnate even in that, even in dreams. You dream and you wake up and walk, dream, wake up and walk, dream, wake up and walk, the dreams will stop. Now you dream, you take it seriously, try to know what it means, do it, you will see. They become clearer, 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 until now when you start dreaming all the people you are going to meet that day in the morning, the first thing that comes to you, all the people you are going to meet. So now you're entering into a prophetic realm, which is for everybody. You understand? So now when somebody comes and meets you, you dreamt when they were telling you this, and in the dream you said no. So when the person comes, you say no, because your spirit in the dream told you that one is a mufere, say no. Okay, now then you enter a realm where you are in charge and there is no time to waste. And now when you get there, let me tell you, you don't waste any time. There is no time to waste. Do you understand? You move from progress to progress to progress, and there is a clear path like this. Now the other thing that when people stagnate and they become happy in a place, one of the things they do is they start becoming critical, they start becoming tired, they start falling, thinking that everything is routine, so they should look for something else to excite them. That is especially true of ladies. Ladies like things to excite them. Too much drama. Somebody told me that mine is the only ministry which has more men than women. Because I'm not a dramatist. I don't encourage drama. I tell people hard truth, by the way. Hard truth. People have left my office crying. So that's a disclaimer. If you don't want to cry, don't come. I'm serious, by the way. People have left quite. Because you're seeing somebody messing their life up when there is a clear instruction. Just do that. If it is God, are you going to bless yourself? Why don't you listen to him? And the instructions come through dreams, through what? Simple dreams, which you can interpret, understand, even if you get it wrong. But you are trying to do something, it will never affect you. You will still go ahead. Amen? So maybe you think the dream means this, yet it actually meant the other thing. Then you did what you thought it meant, which was wrong. No problem. You will still proceed because God sees you wanted to obey. Now there is this thing of go and spend the night praying for your sister, then you say, I have to bathe and sleep. And it's clear disobedience. And now, if you had made that one inconvenient step, let me tell you this. By the way, let me tell you, there are people, so many, who are who have ministries. Even people call them Papa and what? But they don't register in the spiritual realm. They are not there. They are illegal. And my, do you know? Like, and you see people take these things lightly because somebody has a gift. Let's say somebody has a gift of prophetic. A prophetic gift is the same as a singing gift. Do you understand? You can use it as and when you do. What makes you register there is by following in the path of God. Do you see how Barnabas, he's not mentioned again. Paul and Barnabas, because he's still in the will of God. The minute he gets off, Paul, then Paul and Silas, Barnabas, forgotten. He's not there in the spiritual realm. Tadiyo. Now, there are people who will stick on to him because they said, no, this is the man who actually preached the gospel to Paul. This is the man who actually did what? Introduced Paul. In the spiritual realm, he's not there. Now, what makes you register is following the will of God. Praise the Lord. Just that. And then, Barnabas has a gift, and he goes and exercises it. But as far as the scripture is concerned, he's on his own things. Paul, Silas, Paul, Timothy. Barnabas, zero. So you don't think the Acts of the Apostles is here to tell stories. Paul, if he had gotten off, nah, it would be somebody else. You understand? So this is how these things work. Now, you as a child of God, if you don't want to stagnate, number one, find out where you're supposed to be. For sure, don't let somebody else tell you. Ask the Lord. He will tell you. Number two, the second thing by the way that makes people stagnate is stinginess. I don't know which causes what. I know people who stagnate become stingy. And people who become stingy stagnate. So it's another hen versus egg. Which came first? Praise the Lord. Now, you see, you have to first hit yourself left, right, to understand that God gives an instruction. It's the best way to the next level. Just do it. Just do it. He knows what he's doing. Glory to God. Now you know, you dream it. Somebody tells you about it. Somebody does, you know, you get a prophetic word about it. So many other ways that God communicates. And you know, the only way to the next level is me doing this. Then I don't want people stagnate in this. And by the way, I can see them. I see them and know this one stagnated. Some of them I tell them, some of them I don't. And I say, oh, this one, Kati, Yakomia. Because, now do you know, it would be the will of the devil for me to come here and, Watchman, Friday, what? 300 people, what? Then I settle for that. New suit, what? But do you see what I'm saying? And something which is supposed to be big, like you're supposed to be an owner of a big business, but you settle for some, and God will, he can even make them throw you out or do something just to shake you, like the famine, like and the what? The persecution. Just tell you that now Jerusalem is full, saturated. Now it's time for Judea and Samaria. Then you also go and pitch camp there and stay there. Then says, no, now it's time for uttermost parts of the world. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you are pitched in Yoka, Jerusalem, there, seated, enjoying. I attend fellowship on which day and which day. Then I do what? Then I do what? Then on which day I go to swim and what? And you've put Yoka life there, and yet Jesus is coming back. Now, for us, by the way, we started our school's thing. Regan. we started our schools thing. And for us, we are not going to gather crowds. We are going to for fellowships. No, we want to gather crowds for the kingdom. You understand? And it is by instruction of the Lord and other things. Now, when that is done and people stole, the Lord told me about schools in December. Now look when we are starting. So also me, I was pitching camp in where? In Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord. We've covered four schools this week. And so far, the most outstanding ones were on Wednesday. We visited two schools. Over 143 students gave their lives to Christ. And we were at Yale High School and also Kampala School of Health Sciences. And in all the schools we've gone to, one profound thing is they are all giving us opportunities to go and minister. So there's no reason why you shouldn't step into a school and you get an appointment for us. We have a team of 21 able ministers who are able to minister to these students. And the schools are really willing because there's a way the school ministry went down over the years. And now schools are really accommodative. And especially for the end time message, people are really, when you tell them about the rapture, about the Antichrist, about the New Age movement, about the New World Order, they really want to capture what is going on, and they are so excited about it. There's no school we've gone to that has rejected us. They have all given us appointments. Like the whole of next week, each day we have a school lined up, and we would want at least three schools per day for because we have three teams already of around 6-7 people. And in all these schools, you find real needs. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, guys don't know about it. There's a school we went to, even the headmaster, who is a pastor, didn't know about the rapture. So there's a really urgent need. So let us step up and go out. You have an aunt in a school, you have a cousin, you have somebody. I think all of us have passed through school. You are an OB of some school, so you must have attended at this secondary school. You can go to your former school. But all I can say is that people are excited about our message. And kids are not born again. It's surprising in a school of 400 kids to find 100 guys coming to get born again. And we were caught up by registration because there were more than 100 in that one school, the report I got from St. Henry's. For the other schools also, it's the same. Guys also want to be talked to. They want to be counseled. You would go for, you find like 50 people. We were like 5 people lined up. And you see a line from here up to there. Prayer request, counseling, what, demons, dreams, all these things that are really disturbing. So let us step out, all of us. There's no limit. You just register with us at the end and we'll be going to all these schools.
Okay, thank you very much. Clap for them, eh? They are doing a powerful job. So this instruction has to be followed. There is another one which also has to be done. And then now finally, after we started this school thing, then the Lord showed me the next step. But before that, before I'd done that, I wasn't seeing anything. But you see, when you sense there's a stagnation, let me tell you people, even in your businesses, stagnation is of the devil. There has to be progress. Amen? If there is no progress in what you're doing, and you don't see a clear, at least last week I was, let's say month, for your sake. But some of you, even 3 years, you're still the same, and you're comfortable. How can that be? Really, how are we going to get dominion before the Lord comes? When people are settling for very small things, just go and pray. You will dream something. And a simple instruction, go and talk to so-and-so. I dreamt when I was talking to so-and-so, and then I went and did it. And then the person gave me a deal, and then the deal next, then that deal takes you somewhere. Then you say, but God, why am I stagnated? Now he loves that. Then you say, okay, you're ready for progress. Okay. Then you ask yourself, then you dream, then you get the next level of instruction, which takes you to the next level. Do you understand? Now then you learn how to walk with the Spirit. This is not for preachers. This is for businessmen, for what? Everything, everybody. Even in your career. You had the same car job for how many years? Go and pray and say, no, this is stagnation, God. This is not your will. Glory to God. Your will is progress all the time. So, there might be time for staying in a place to learn something, but there may be time for moving. Let me end with Numbers 9, verse 17. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tent. And at the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained there. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle, a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. You see, it's repeating it. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning. When the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Do you see how God is teaching them something? Where it says when the cloud would start moving, the people who have built the tabernacle would hurry up to uproot it. It's like it was like a tent. To uproot it very fast and run with the cloud. Then they go with the cloud. When it stops, they stop. Then they start pitching. Then they are still pitching. Then it starts moving. Then they move. Whether day or night. Okay? Now, that is God teaching us that you move at his pace. Now, so many people would reach somewhere, the cloud is moving, you say, ah, man, we are tired. Let's stay here. And you stay there. Or others would come, do you know, it would spend as much as a year in one place. So, anytime the cloud moves, you move. Now, how do you know the cloud is moving in your life? You become unsettled about where you are. You start getting a sense of, but where is this going? Where is it headed? What is the next step? Okay? Am I now going to settle here and just settle for looking after kids and raising them and what they go to? Like, man, don't settle for those things. Like, don't settle for something like, because people park at the roadside, then you start earning a living. And a powerful person who was called for dominion is now earning a living. I go take a job somewhere, I'm earning this much, yeah, so you can pay your rent and what and what. But man, meanwhile, the cloud moved a long time ago. Now, you wake up at some stage when you can no longer catch up with the cloud. Okay, you can at any stage here. But my point is, you start getting regrets. You start regretting, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. And now, having been through the life of regrets, I know the way I felt when my sister died because I did not go to pray. That thing teaches you how to obey. Amen? It teaches you how to obey. You know that I will obey. Inconvenient, no problem. I will obey. Because after all, I did not even sleep. The whole night. Not a single ounce of sleep. I was turning, turning, turning. Things which you regret for a long time. Now imagine if she wasn't born again. At least she was, and I know where she is. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So no more stagnation. Amen? No more what? Go and seek the Lord and find out if you are where you're supposed to be. Or if you're just there on a chill. Remember what I told you the other time of your branch being cut out? You go, sir, you're on a chill, then your branch is cut out. Now, that was last, when was it? The other week. Now, my son was in attendance. He's 12, he's in P7 at Aga Khan. It was Friday. On Monday, he went and started a fellowship teaching end time to his classmates. So, so now every night I have to tell him what he has to preach the next day. But it's 3 times a week. So it's on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So on Sunday night, he's telling me now, what do I talk about? I said, what did you talk about yesterday? The rapture. I said, now, what did you say then? Now I finished the rapture, now I want something else. So he's demanding for different topics every day. And then he's taking notes and then going and mesmerizing what? His classmates. But you see, whoever receives the kingdom of God as a child, Now you see how children just, that's easy. Then you know what he told me? I told him, so what made you think to start? Then he said, I was fearing that God might pluck off my branch. Now, At least we have children, we still have children here who heard about the call for schools and came. And then are now doing something. But you see this indifference, which, okay, the total indifference, nothing moves you, no message moves you, you just come and listen to it and go. And then you wonder why your life is not progressing for so long. Then somebody comes and asks you a question, which is something you've spoken about so many times here. Now let me also tell you something else. Somebody comes to you, this person comes to you and tells you, I applied for a job, then gives you a seed and says, I want you to pray. Now, you say you've received it. And she stands and goes. And then she comes back later with another seed, said, yeah, I got it. Now, this is the first fruit. Now, I'm not talking about simple jobs. Eh? I'm talking about somebody coming with first fruits, a first fruit of like 15 ma. Then she says, now, since I left that here, I was my NSSF. But my forms are not filled well properly and what. So I say, I tell her, you go, you will get the NSSF. Even without those forms filled. And now, I will tell some, you see the thing is, when I get 1, 2, 3 people who believe in the anointing, by the way, I don't care about the rest. Eh? Now, this woman, I told her very well, just go, you'll see, you'll get it without those people. So she went. Then she went to the lady, and they said, now, there are so many things missing in your papers, this, that. I said, but you know, here's your check. So the next time she shows up, another seed. Now, I'm telling you, then I tell her now, you are going to get a promotion in this period. She says, amen. Then she runs, before I change my mind. Eh? Then the next time she comes, another seed. Now this is what you said. Now, like, I have seen people progress from here up to there. Then I have seen people who are just living and giving within their means. And I don't care. By the way, I don't care. Because I'm telling you, we are going to get ministry finances from the brokest people in this place. While you corporate people who are still thinking corporately, we will stay corporate. When somebody who is totally had nothing, you find them the next day with a lot. Just because a simple thing, like some... Now, I know all these things. I've been corporate and all that. Where you know you're giving, you're feeling sweet. Like... Let me tell you, I know that they will. You know, remember when Jesus said that we will turn worshippers out of God can turn worshippers out of stones? I'm telling you, we are going to get ministry finances from the brokest people right now. The only requirement is just believe in the anointing. You come and I tell you prophetically what you're supposed to do and whom to, you know, contact. The other day, somebody came to me, he was a security guard who had been out of job. So, I held his hand, then I saw him leading a security group at a school somewhere. Then he told me, yes, actually, then I told him, and the person who owns that school owns other schools and is going to give you charge of security there as well. Then he told me, yes, actually, I applied at a certain school, and the person owns these schools, and what I said, now, here is what you're going to do. Get your papers and speak of yourself like you are a kafuru in security. And you are going to assemble for them a security team. Now, the hand of God goes with you. Amen? Yeah. So I said, write a proposal. We want to give security. Then he reached there. He told me that actually there was, in that place where he applied, there was a big security need. The students, some things had been stolen. You see this? So he comes as a solution. And now he's talking big. Then they said, no, these guards are what? He comes and says, no, don't worry. I have arrived. Now, you wait and see what God will make out of that person. Somebody who was this century was here, like that, and had even been out of job for 3 months. I think from a job where I couldn't have been earning more than 400K or something like that. But you wait, you will see. When somebody does believe in the anointing, okay, and know that we do not come here to speak our own things. Honestly, I wish you knew that. Then you will know that God does anybody, if you have stunted, somebody else will be lifted up and will take that role and you'll be there. Now, you get an instruction to give an amount of money, which is not even too big, and you refuse. And that instruction was your next level calling. Amen? your next level calling. If you had given it, guarantee, it would be your next level. Now, I'll give you an example. If the Lord told me to, let's say, give 10 million, and I refused, and maybe that's the maximum amount. Let's say that's the maximum I would have given if I gave it. Then I refuse. Then I have been conquered by 10 million. You understand? Then I will remain below 10 million. Do you understand? But if I give it, especially if it was like those sacrificial givings, then I have conquered the tens of millions. I can guarantee you after that, it becomes easier for me to get 20, 30, because I'm operating the level of tens of millions. Now a time comes when he says, now I want to give 100 million. And let's say that's all your bank account. Then he says, just empty it and give it. Now, there are two things. You either refuse and stay with your tens of million, or you give and enter the level of hundreds of million. Because that's how you conquer it. Okay? Because I've seen people move from thousands to millions in a short time just by following instructions. But man, this is the only man I had, but the Lord has told me to give it and what? Then you just watch. And you see, when I know those things, I just sit down and watch. And sometimes you even get concerned. One day I asked the Lord that, God, but these people who come and give me this money, do they really get blessed? And the Lord told me clearly, you just do what I tell you to do, and you'll see how they will be blessed. If I stop doing his will, then you won't be. And on the day of judgment, I will have to answer for that. But he says, just do my will, don't worry about them. So, somebody brings. The next time he comes, somebody brought for you a seed of 20K and had to give a whole sentence, a whole, you know, and they gave a whole essay before giving it. 20K. Now, after some time, the person brings 600K. Then you know something has happened. You know something has happened. The next time the person is bringing 2 million. I've seen these things, and then you know something happened. Then you know now somebody is going somewhere. Praise the Lord. Now somebody has known this is how to progress. Instruction. Then they conquered this. The 10, 20K. Then after that, you start getting 30, 40, you know, tens of thousands. Then the next time you come with 600,000, now you've conquered hundreds of thousands. And then move on. Now, and then progress. And you can go as far as you want just by obeying instructions. Don't get excited. Don't say, hey, there are tens of thousands. I think now let me know. No. Don't go on your own. Don't go ahead of the instruction of God. Wait for him to tell you. Amen? But you know those ones are also there. They think it's like some kind of gambling. Because you gave 100K and got 2 million, so you say, oh, now let me give 1 million, I'm going to get 20 million. What? Instruction. Amen? What? And then also, you have to learn that if, and I've said this before, but you know some of you people have to learn this thing. If a miracle is birthed in a certain place, give credit to that place. Credit means testimony. Credit means giving. Amen? So somebody comes to me and says, I brought for you this seed. I say, how did you get to know about the watchman? Then says, no, I used to listen to you on radio and what? Where do you go to church? I go to church here and what? And I say, who prays? Who has been praying for you? Look, I have a pastor who has been praying for me and what? But you know, I decided to bring this seed here. Why? Why? You see, this is the problem. I don't want your seed unless I've done something for you. You understand? Because there is some pastor there who has been praying for you to get a miracle. Now you get the money, you bring it to me. I don't want it. God answered the other man's prayers. And somebody who was kubanjaring you paid you your money. Why do you bring it to me? Take it to that man. Now you bring it to me. If I do not sense and I take it, that's the last miracle you're going to get. Because you did not honor the other man. Do you understand that? Now, even by testifying, I know somebody goes somewhere, you know, I was told this by some man of God. Pray for me, I don't have a job, what? So, brings the document, pray for a job, the first salary is 11 million. She runs to another place because there are bigger lights and what to testify. She lost the job in 3 months. That is a spiritual principle. Amen? That is a spiritual principle. Don't do that. If the miracle was birthed at Watchman, come and testify at Watchman and give your seed at Watchman. If you give it anywhere else, that's it. You lose it. Even if I don't know. That's how spiritual things are. Because God can use anybody to get something to you. Do you understand? Eh? So if he chose to use Pastor Ruego, and he's the one who did it for you, why do you bring the seed to me? He could have used me, but he chose him. Because he also has to honor him as a minister. You understand? He also has to take care of him as a minister. So if he used Apostle Abraham, take the seed to him. How is Abraham going to survive if God is answering his prayers and you're running with your seed to me? Then you'll wonder why you stored. That's it. Now, for you to be released, you'd have to go back to Abraham and say, man, I'm sorry. I took the seed to where? Then he says, okay, I've released you. Then you go back. Otherwise, you stole. Do you understand that? Eh? Now, people stole because of these reasons. I'm telling you, because for me, it frustrates me when people stay in one place and they are not moving. It's completely frustrating. For me, even as somebody is, you see somebody last year, you're the same way. Next year, how? Like, okay, if I know you, it really bothers me. Completely bothers me. So, those simple rules. Don't call somebody to pray unless you're, if you think, you know, but this, you know, kind of reasoning, eh? That because, you know, this one, I think I'll go to the bigger ministry. You try it, you'll see. God honors different ministries different ways. Amen? So, Pastor Rego is submitted to this ministry. So he prays for you, you get a miracle, then say, no, I'll just go to the watchman. You'll struggle to get the next miracle. Yet if you had honored him, eh, and made his heart merry, like you would, that would be the beginning of many other miracles. You'd enter the realm of miracles. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay? Yeah, but you know, I wanted to tell you something. We know we've been under attack here, but you know that shows we are going to the next level. Eh? Because people who don't serve God, who chose not to serve God, and they are serving themselves, and they are jealous. Okay, you know those things bother me, eh? Like, they are jealous, they are sending people to do weird things. The other day we found, you know this, carpet which I what? Which they would put here at my chair. We keep it somewhere, they had put it in feces. And it was a spiritual thing, eh? Because feces in the spirit mean waste. Eh? And things like that, eh? And other things like that. And you see, waste of time. You understand, eh? Waste of time. There's nothing. There's nothing they can do. Like, there are bigger things we have to deal with than this. Eh? The other day in my office, somebody came. Man, eh? The things we see. Eh? Somebody came and she had been sent by Jezebel. And then the person is there. Of course, I knew something would happen after the other article I wrote and what. Eh? But nothing I can't handle. Praise the Lord. By the way, let me tell you. Eh? Because people say, man, how can you write about that woman? Now, when I went to pray that day, I said that, you know, I wanted to pray about it, and the Lord said, more or less just told me, forget about that, you already covered. Then, somehow because of that, I wanted to say, like, surround me with your angels now. The minute I started, he even rebuked me, and said, you're already surrounded by them. Like, you know, a rebuking tone, eh? So, like, chill, eh? You're covered. But you see, we have to show people in this world, eh, that there is a power above these men you see here. And women, eh? People have to know that God is there, eh? And there is a power above them. Because people are beginning to think like they are God. They are not. Okay? They are mere mortals. Praise the Lord. Eh? They are mere what? And we cannot live in, like, so this woman comes to my office and she's trying to see if I would pick who she is. Then I ask her, what do you do? Then she's, eh? What do I do? You know what? Then she's, now she bored me, Steve. Eh? But you see, I played along. Eh? So I played like I didn't. But for the most part, actually, I knew there was something fishy about her, but I didn't understand what it was. Maybe the Lord didn't want me to see it, because if I had seen it, I would have handled her militaristically. Eh? Eh. And he didn't trust me to handle her very well. Eh? Because as soon as we finished, we had a meeting with some people. When I entered my car to drive away, suddenly everything about that woman downloaded in my spirit completely. I knew where she came from, what her intention was, what is this, everything. And even what they are planning to do. The whole thing just unfolded before me. I said, why didn't the Lord show it to me before? Maybe I would jump in her throat. Eh? Maybe he didn't trust me. But anyhow, but those ones are also there. I wonder what everybody. But we are going to do the work of God. You know, some when you understand that, like, my kingdom is not of this world, then Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And by the way, they cannot even kill the body. They can't. Because Jesus said, now, I remember when I first read that scripture, I was a very, like, hardcore journalist, hammering guys with very serious English. So some of them tried to kill me. Now, then I read that scripture. Do you see these sparrows? Two of them cost a copper coin. Then Jesus says, not one of them falls down except by your Father's will. Then he says, how much more are you? So I said, if even a sparrow, to be killed, God has to first decide, okay, cover them. Now, how do you decide to kill me? Who are you? Have you asked permission from him? Now, if you have not, and you try to kill me, you will die in my place. And now I issued that thing. Now, you set out to kill me, you die. Unless God has decided, I've taught enough in time and it's enough for me. But otherwise, I'm telling you, regardless of who you are, you set out, come, you die before it happens. Unless I forgive you. But by the way, like these things, because I know, like you're sitting there, then you see people like this and what, just because you wrote some article about some woman who thinks she's God. Anyhow, praise the Lord. God is good. And we have to fulfill our purpose here. And it's not dependent on somebody's whims and whatever emotions and what. Over what. Let her go with her emotions elsewhere. The work of God is going to be done. Praise the Lord. Amen? And now some of you are scared for me. Don't be. But even if they killed me, I would be in paradise tomorrow. Looking at you when I'm taking cappuccino. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Because your children shall learn how to move with you. Say amen. Say, I learn how to move with God. I will move when the cloud moves. And I will stop when the cloud stops. And I will be sensitive to see the cloud. Now, so many of you have already stagnated in places. So now I want you to go and pray and say, Lord, where have I stagnated? And what am I supposed to do? And when you get those instructions in a dream, okay, or any other way, just do what they are saying. Amen. Father, I thank you because your children have the ability to. Let me tell you some dream I got. Just I'm feeling glad to tell you this. Some time ago, I wanted to do something and I was in a hurry. I wanted, you know, I was doing those things of moving before the cloud. Now I dreamt at night when I was in Imbarara and I was waiting for a bus coming to Kampala. So the bus was taking long to fill. So I said, these buses. Let me walk. So I started walking from Mbarara to Kampala. Now I just walked a short distance. Then the bus came and passed. Then I tried to stop it. And what the Lord was telling me is, Kakana, be patient. Like, you, when you think you're in a hurry, you're going to lose out. Now, another time, I dreamt when I was riding a bike, like a scooter or something like that, running away from some guy. The guy was trying to hurt me, so I jumped on the scooter and started running. Then I would do, then the scooter was going like this. So now, then I would increase like that. Then the thing is making a lot of noise and spewing smoke, but going very slowly. Then the guy whom I was running away from came walking like this and was with me here like this. Now, okay, it was a very, but then that time the Lord was telling me, you're not moving fast enough. Vehicles mostly mean either ministries or businesses or endeavors, what you're getting, a vehicle, okay? So if you dream, let's say when you're in a car and you enter into a plane, that means you're going, your ministry is expanding, let's say international. Now, so anything, mostly anything to do with vehicles, bicycle, I don't know if a bicycle is a vehicle, you know, moving objects, bicycle, sukuta like mine, and all those, is something to do, something you're engaged in. It could be a farming project, a business project, a ministry, and so on. Anyhow, so it was, he was telling me you're not moving fast enough. Now, when I see those things, I wake up and pray, where am I supposed to move? I don't just dismiss it. It's God is giving me an instruction that you're not moving as fast as you should. So even the people whom you're supposed to have left, the guy is walking and for you're there. And the thing is not moving. Anyhow, so I'm telling you this because this is how so many of you are going to get your instructions. Amen? If you can't get the interpretation, find somebody who can interpret dreams. Eh? Let them help you. But just do what it says. Glory to God. Okay. So I speak a blessing upon each and every one of you in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because these people are blessed and they progress and nobody stagnates. In the name of Jesus, I bless your name, Father, because the instructions that you give, we shall hold them dear and we shall do what they say. Because you, indeed, are our progress. You are our Lord and our leader and our teacher. And Holy Spirit, we shall avail ourselves to be taught of you that we may know when we are going with you, when we are lagging behind, when we are going too fast, because your pace is our pace. Your pace is what we move at. We shall not seek to go ahead or behind you, but we shall seek to move with you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because this reality is now sunk in our hearts. And let everybody who connects here financially see the fruit thereof. And let everybody know that progress is the will of God. That progress is the will of the Father. And nobody stagnates in their ministries and in the things for which you've called them, careers, businesses. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because these people are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.